And now, from the Green 960 studios in San Francisco, this is an organic conversation with Helga Hellberg.
And here we are. Welcome to another edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, relationships, and life itself. I'm your host, Helga Hellberg. I hope you had a good week. We got a record number of emails in regard to recent shows last week, many commenting on the show on carbon sequestration that aired on January 23rd, 3 weeks ago, where we looked at the critical role of healthy soil in climate mitigation because of the soil's natural ability to store atmospheric carbon or CO2. So thank you for all your emails and comments that we received. Trivana from Santa Fe, New Mexico asks, as many others, thank you for your show. It's fantastic. Every week I learned so much over the last months listening to it. Why is the role of healthy soil for our society not front page news? We seem to be arguing about the benefits of organic agriculture when it seems that in regard to soil, we don't really even have a choice. Trivana from Santa Fe, New Mexico, well, that's true. Healthy soil is key to pretty much everything on this planet. Healthy soil has a greater capacity to hold water, which means less water taken from watersheds and creeks, which is good for salmon and other aquatic life. It means more productivity on the land, which is great for the rancher. Healthy organic soil can help reverse global warming, which is good for all of us. And healthy soil grows strong, healthy plants and healthy food for us, eliminating or at least limiting the use of pesticides and synthetic fertilizers. So yes, healthy organic soil is the key to life. As even our president said, the nation that destroys its topsoil will destroy itself. Well, not our current president, but Franklin Roosevelt in 1937. And one day, I promise, healthy soil will be front page news again, because yes, we don't really have a choice. Again, thank you for your question, Trivana from Santa Fe, New Mexico. If you have a comment or question, please email us at share@anorganicconversation.com. Topsoil, diversity. There are more species, there's more biological life in a shoebox full of healthy soil than on the entire surface of the North American continent. Universes of relationships and interdependencies. And this web of life supports the life above it. In fact, the life above it is a reflection of the life beneath the surface. The 14th Dalai Lama says only the proper environmental conditions are required to allow the underlying and natural seed of compassion to germinate and grow. The natural seed of compassion. Is he speaking about organic agriculture and healthy soil? I always wonder what would happen if the entire world would grow organically. Isn't our intention as critical? For example, if we grow food, even organically, out of the fear of food scarcity, would it take away the transformative power of healthy soil? But then I look at those billions of microorganisms in the first few inches of soil, ready to heal us and to heal all that we are destroying. And I know, from my vantage point, it could look as if our intentions matter. But then I ask the soil, and she just smiles at me, compassionately. You're listening to An Organic Conversation, and we'll be right back after the break.
Have someone who needs me, someone I've needed so long. For once unafraid, I can go where life leads me. Somehow I know I'll be strong. For once I can touch what my heart used to dream of long before I knew. Oh, someone warm like you would make my dream come true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For once in my life, I won't let sorrow hurt me, not like it's hurt me before. For once I have something I know won't desert me. I'm not alone anymore. For once I can say, this is mine, you can't take it. Long as I know I have love.
And we're back here to an organic conversation. I'm your host, Helge Hellberg, and I'm very excited about my guest today. Speaking of dirt, for the next hour, we will dive into the world of organic gardening, gardening actually with an attitude, a good one. With me in the studio is Annie Spiegelman, aka the Dirt Diva, California Master Gardener, columnist for the San Francisco Bay Area's Pacific Sun newspaper, and frequent contributor to Organic Style magazine, the New York Spirit, and the Marin IJ, among many others, and the author of a brand new book. It's actually so new, it's not quite out yet. It's coming out next week. It's called Talking Dirt. Annie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Helge.
Pleasure to have you. We've known each other for quite some time back. How are you today?
I'm so happy to be here.
You have been busy. You have been busy since we first met. I don't know when that was. And now this new book, what inspired you to write it?
I have to say it was mostly my friends that they were always asking me, when do I do this? When do I prune my roses? When do I fertilize? When do I do this and that? And I just thought somebody's got to give them some advice. And I wanted it to be in a simple book that they can understand. Maybe they weren't master gardeners. They wanted something. They were all busy people. They wanted something that was quick and fast and easy to understand. So I tried to take all my education from the Master Gardening Program and from the research that I've done with the Pacific Sun, with my Dirt Diva column, interviewing entomologists, horticulturists, nursery people, and just taking that information and giving it to the public so that they can do it in their own gardens, but garden in a clean, responsible way, and that maybe they too could become soil worshipers.
So what is it? California Master, certified California Master Gardener.
Master Gardener,
how do you,
yes.
How do you become, what is that? What
does that
entail exactly?
I know, it sounds so
exactly?
fancy, doesn't it?
It sounds very fancy. It's great.
Well, can I just tell you a little history before I became a Master Gardener?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I was a total loser.
We'll get into that anyway.
Okay.
No, tell us about Master Gardener.
Master Gardener,
first.
Okay.
Because you
master
use that term now.
It's such a wonderful program. It started in 1972, and thanks to the EPA starting around that time and our hero, Rachel Carson, Silent Spring, there was an awareness that farmers and homeowners wanted to garden with less chemicals in their life. And a program was started by many universities, the Extension Program, and they said to garden geeks, garden wannabes like me, you didn't have to be in the horticultural business. You could be in any business. But if you come to a program with us for 6 months, you'll be trained by all the local UC, university horticulturists, entomologists, all the big shots will train you. And what you give back is that you go out in the community and you volunteer your experience and your work and you diagnose and you help out at the schools, at the retirement homes.
With the neighbors.
Neighbors.
If they want to or not.
Yeah. Trust me. I hide from some of my neighbors with their questions. And now, right now, there are about 90,000 master gardeners around the country. There's a master gardening program in most of the large cities. And if you want to find out if there's a master gardening program in your city, you can go to the American Horticultural Society, which is ahs.org. And you can put in your zip code and you'll find the closest one. And that would be if you want to become one. And also what's great about it is if you come to our office, we can diagnose for you for free. So you come in, you bring your plant, you bring a leaf or a disease, a pest, and we look it up under a microscope and we have horticultural advisors that help us. So we're helping the community instead of people
just, who love bugs.
Yeah. I'm not the best
who
bug
would get
lover.
Up at 4 a.m. I know a couple who say,
exactly.
You got what? No.
No, and thank God for those guys because I'm not one of them.
Yeah. I found a bug in my backyard a few months ago that literally was as big as your hand. And of course, it was a sensation. Everyone knew what it was. It wasn't actually that big of a deal.
Was it a Jerusalem cricket?
Uh, I th- No, okay. It was like a wood borer of some kind.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, it looked like a mid-sized bird. Anyway, it stirred up the
No, you know what? I pretend I'm all cool and into the garden and everything, but if I see a Jerusalem cricket, I'll go run screaming still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said California Master Gardener. How long is that program if people are interested?
So it's a six-month commitment for the training, and then you continue on for years, but it's just a couple hours a month, or going into schools or working at the desk or making phone calls, research. So you can spread it out however you'd like. It's financially, it's a small commitment. I did it about 10 years ago. It was about $100 for the whole thing. I don't know what it is right now.
And how did that program find you, or how did you find the program?
Oh, okay. That's such a good question.
Like, you were already in love with your garden. You just needed more, or was this the first introduction that somebody mentioned it and you thought, I should do this?
You know, how I got into gardening, I didn't plan this. It all just, it happened from nature. Mother Nature just did it to me. She found me and grabbed me and said, stop being so shallow in the movie business and come work on my issues. And so I just listened. I didn't have any of these plans. I was in the movie business, started out in New York as a PA, which is a production assistant. My first job was a parking PA on the movie Staying Alive with Sylvester Stallone. And I was paid $50 and I watched parking spaces all night. And because I did that so well, a few weeks later, I was called and I became the assistant.
The parking superintendent. Great. Yeah, no wonder why you ended up in gardening.
No, it's even worse. It was a Robin Williams movie, Moscow on the Hudson. And since I did so good at parking, they moved me up to helping the garbage person, the craft service person. And I basically was on the set with garbage bags and cleaned up.
Isn't that funny that as soon as we do something right, we get promoted into something that we don't do right anymore? Why don't we just keep people where they are? Anyway, you're listening to An Organic Conversation, and I'm in conversation with the Dirt Diva, a.k.a. Annie Spiegelman, about her new book, Talking Dirt. And so in New York.
Okay, so then I spent many years and moved up the ladder as quick as I could from garbage. And became a first assistant director in the Directors Guild of America. So I'm on movie sets and sort of managing the set, making sure things run efficiently. So I moved to California, moved to San Francisco, and in between some film projects, I rented an apartment right near Golden Gate Park with one of those great stucco San Francisco houses, and had a small garden in the backyard. All full of weeds, but I didn't know any better. I thought they were flowers because I was from New York City, and what did I know? So I started planting there and watering, and turned it into, it took me a long time and a lot of help from Sloat Garden Center down the block, and started training myself. But then years later, I moved up to Novato, bought my own first house, and that's when I was the worst gardener, and I was using chemicals and pesticides, and it was really horrible and dangerous, and I wasn't reading the product containers, what it said.
Like most of us, actually, right? I mean, in many counties throughout California, actually, and for example, Marin County, 95% of all pesticides, 95% of all pesticides are used in private homes.
It's exactly it.
So if you compare to agriculture or overall use, really the vast majority are used in our own backyards.
And homeowners don't realize that. There was a study by saying pretty much the same thing by Johns Hopkins University, saying that homeowners use almost 10 times more pesticide per acre than farmers use. And we would never believe that, but it's true. Hmm. And it's because we need to be educated. And that's a big reason of why I wrote this book, too, because we're all contaminating ourselves.
But you were one of us, and you used the chemicals just as much. Well, this.
And when I became a master gardener, when I started the training, there were a lot of organic gardeners in the training program, and I was the worst person. I'd roll my eyes at them. I was like, big deal. So you're organic, and you think you're cool, and big deal. I didn't get it. So once I started the training, and I learned another thing I want to throw in before the training part is Lisa Jackson, the head of the EPA, just a few months ago spoke in front of the U.S. Senate and said that of the 80,000 chemical compounds, some in pesticides, some in our household products, very few have been adequately safety tested, especially for children. And we don't realize that so many of the chemicals that are in pesticides haven't been tested, and especially for kids, and they're much more vulnerable than we are.
And the synergistic effects of pesticides is a whole another thing, because when a pesticide gets approved, usually you approve that single ingredient or that single product, and there's an increased toxicity in the synergistic effects of chemicals combined, which unfortunately how we do it or how we are exposed to them almost on a daily basis.
Exactly. And a lot, we don't know a lot of the inert ingredients too. They don't have to list that on the container. So home gardeners, we really have to, we have to be educated, and we have to be careful, and especially as a mom, it just...
And actually, that's a good point. And the EPA is now seeking comments on inert ingredients that they have to be displayed on products. So if you go to the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency website, you can find a way to comment on that. And that's a really great thing to just know what's in the product from A to Z, everything, both the active as well as the inert, the silent ingredients, which, as you just said, are sometimes as toxic or more toxic. So you were using the normal stuff.
So I was using the bad stuff.
The bad
and
stuff.
Clueless.
Yeah,
had
normal,
no idea.
The bad stuff.
And I was at the library one day, and there was an article on master gardeners, and it said something, do you like people? And do you like to garden? And do you like free horse manure? And I didn't know, I'd heard that aged horse manure was great for your yard for fertilizing, but I had no idea what it
was. Were you growing food already?
I was growing food with chemical fertilizer and mostly flowers. I wanted a cottage garden and mostly flowers. So I signed up for the program for Master Gardening, and that kind of changed my life.
And that was?
That was 10 years ago. And I don't want to give my husband and my son too much credit, but they were part of it.
In what way?
Because my sweet boy, Jack, when he was a baby, he'd be out in the garden with me, and he'd be shoving, you know, as one-year-olds do, all the leaves and anything he could into his mouth. And that's what made me look at the products I was using and read the back of the label. And then I couldn't pronounce anything. And then I went on the computer and Googled it and saw how dangerous it was, especially for kids. So while I'm on that thought, there's a phone number called 1-800-CLEANUP, and people can call it nationally, and they can look into their garden sheds and products and pesticides that have been sitting there for years. You want to get them away, especially if you have babies and kids touching things. And you can call that number, 1-800-CLEANUP, and they'll tell you where you can get rid of all that toxic.
Do they come out or no?
No, they'll tell you a dump site to bring it
to. That would take it.
And it's national. It's a national number, so you'll be able to find that. And it's really important to do.
And please, please don't put it down the drain. That's the worst thing we can possibly do. It must be properly discarded because it's so toxic.
Can I just say one thing about talking about not discarding things down the drain? I just got something from our waste carrier in my area saying that you can't even throw away, they don't want you to throw makeup and cosmetics anymore, that you want to, they want you to take that to a waste site. I mean, that tells you something, how what's in our makeup, what we're lathering on our skin.
Yes, makeups and household cleaners and right. pesticides. So that number again is 1-800-CLEANUP.
Yes.
And personal health. You were growing food already. You took that Master Gardener program. You engaged with the organic farmers. And then what happened?
I started becoming smarter in my gardening, thank God. And we were voting locally on a ballot issue about genetically modified foods, GMOs. And I wrote a letter to the editor of the Pacific Sun. And I was against them, and I didn't want them in our county. And I just felt that they needed to be studied more. And the editor of the paper said that their garden columnist was going on sabbatical for a couple months. Do I want to cover her? So I started writing for the Pacific Sun. And that's when everything really started changing, because I got to write about issues that I was interested in, and I was learning more about organic and why we don't want all these chemicals and where they go, how they leach into our water supplies. Jason Walsh, the editor of the Pacific Sun, is also a supporter of clean and green in our county. And we work closely with ourwateourworld.org, which is another great website.
What's clean and green? An organization?
No, it's just that we would like that for our kids. He's a dad too, and we just want to start.
Just on that topic of clean and green.
Clean and green, yes, locally, getting pesticides out of our schools and out of the school lawns, the public parks, as much as we can. There's a website called ourwateourworld.org, and it's started locally here, but it's also national. And it's a great website. If you find out what pest or what plant problem you have, you can look it up on their website, and they will recommend a less toxic product for you. And they'll recommend about 10 possibilities. They'll give you name brands. And this is where we need to go. We need to be thinking like that, to take a step and research a little before we spray.
Because there are lots of alternatives, right? More ecological, cheaper, better, as functional, and in the long run, actually more functional.
We're so lucky now with the alternatives. There's no reason to... But you know, Helge, what really gets me? This is what really gets me. I walk into garden centers, not nurseries, but the big chain stores, and I walk in and it's all synthetic chemicals, and they're huge, massive tubs, and then tubs of feed and weed, or weed and feed, the grass weed killer and fertilizer mixed together, which is really dangerous. And there's just tubs of this, and so gardeners buy that because they don't know that there's options. So it's really important to visit your local nursery. They're educated on this. They can help you out.
And we are talking about alternatives in 1 second. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. My guest today, Annie Spiegelman, a.k.a. the Dirt Diva, California Master Gardener, columnist for the San Francisco Bay Area's Pacific Sun newspaper, frequent contributor to Organic Style magazine, among many other publications, and the author of a brand new book, Talking Dirt. We'll be right back after the break.
California, California, you're such a wonder that I think I'll stay in bed. Big time rollers, part time models, so much to plunder that I think I'll sleep instead. I don't know this, see you in neon, thousand suckers with Cipriot and big nights back east with Rhoda.
An Organic Conversation is brought to you by Spotica Skincare. Founded by Janet League Katzen, Spotica is a holistic approach to skincare that is 100% pure and natural, free of synthetic chemicals, and includes organic and wild-crafted ingredients. For more information about Spotica skincare products and the Spotica Spa, visit spotica.com. That's SPHATIKA.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Walsh. My wife and I founded Manika Jewelry with the intention to offer a different kind of jewelry. Beautiful, made by local Bay Area artists, and without a social or environmental compromise. Our featured designers use reclaimed precious metals and Kimberly certified gemstones. It's jewelry made with heart and soul. Come visit our store just off Union Square at 11 Maiden Lane in San Francisco, or visit our website at manikajewelry.com.
For the ultimate West Marin experience, visit Toby's Feed Barn in Point Reyes Station, home of the Point Reyes Farmers Market every Saturday. Toby's Feed Barn features organic produce, native plants, gifts, books, an organic coffee bar, an art gallery, concerts, even daily yoga classes. Toby's Feed Barn in downtown Point Reyes Station, open 7 days a week, family owned and operated since 1942, a West Marin original. For more information, visit tobysfeedbarn.com.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Marin Organic, an association of organic food producers in Marin County, California, is helping to create a healthy and sustainable food shed just north of the Golden Gate Bridge. A model for how to feed a region in a way that is economically viable, environmentally sound, socially just, and culturally appropriate. The opportunity to change the world is right on our plates. Be a part of the solution. For more information on Marin Organic and how to support its efforts, visit marinorganic.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm your host, Helge Hellberg. And my guest today, the Dirt Diva, a.k.a. Annie Spiegelman, who just released a brand new book, Talking Dirt, The Dirt Diva's Down-to-Earth Guide to Organic Gardening. Annie, thanks again for being here with me today. You grew up in New York as a production assistant for big movies, which sounds really exciting. You parked cars to be real about it. And then you got promoted to deal with the garbage. And which is your first encounter with compost in one way or another, right?
Oh, nice. It's true. I didn't know it.
See, there's value in every in every job that we have in our lives. And then you moved to California. You used chemicals in your garden, as many of us do or have done. Mm-hmm. And then you found there are alternatives. We just mentioned a website before the break. It's called OurWaterOurWorld.org. And also, again, OurWaterOurWorld, all one word, OurWaterOurWorld.org. There's also UC Davis, the UC Davis website, University of California, Davis IPM, Integrated Pest Management, where you literally can look at a bug on a photo and or a pest on your leaf, and it tells you what you can do about it with non-toxic methods and non-toxic materials. And from there, you became a columnist for a Marin County-based newspaper where you said you kept learning, which is the beauty about gardening, right? When you dive into that world every day.
There's so much to know. There's so much.
It's incredible. Where did the inspiration for, like, when did that start to really put away the gardening shovel and put the time into writing this really phenomenal book that actually Maria Rodale from the Rodale Institute, or CEO of Rodale Inc., says, "This book is laugh out loud, useful, and smart. Frankly, it's the best book on organic gardening that I've seen in 11 years. And then she says, since mine came out." That's a really sweet self-promoting comment. Good for her. Did a publisher come to you?
You know, I just want to say also with Maria Rodale, I mean, it's such an honor for her to say anything. I mean, her and her family, that's where organic gardening started in America.
Yes,
just Rodale Institute. The whole amazing work. And since the 1940s, I mean, they were fighting the whole chemical industry. And they were saying all this before we were saying it, and they were standing up pretty much alone against a big chemical company out there.
Rodale, definitely stop on the web. An amazing institution, again, since 1940, holding up the natural and organic torch. Very important leader in this movement.
So I would come home on the weekends from the set, and I'd been dealing with, you know, where to park the motorhome. And
even here in California, you were still
here in California
doing your gardening thing,
writing the column, working on the set. And I would come home just wiped out from dealing with maniacal directors and DPs for the week. So on Saturdays, that was my day where they just left me alone and I could be out in my garden and just talking to the plants. And it was complete therapy for me. And that's another thing about gardening is there's so many wonderful things about it. But for somebody like me that has to multitask, I feel like when you're in your garden, you're getting three things are happening. You're getting your workout, let's say, because you're physical, you're schlepping and composting and digging. And then you're also getting a mental workout. It's almost like therapy for you because you're working out all your issues when you're pulling weeds. So that was a big thrill for me to get out all my anger. And then lastly, and maybe most important, is there's the spiritual element. When I'm out in my yard early in the morning, which is probably my favorite time to go out, and I'm still got my pajama bottoms on and my red polka dotted boots, and I've got a cup of Pete's coffee. Sometimes I've got my iPod on with Lucinda Williams, and I'm at my compost spinner, which is under a redwood tree, and I'm out there spinning compost and seeing all these worms and all this life. And then next to me is a pineapple guava shrub, which is this beautiful reddish flower, and that turns into pineapple guavas, these fruits that look like avocados. And that's all just given to me because I've worked the soil and I water it and I love it. And that's what I get. And that's so magical. It's always, I'm always in awe.
And so at one point you said, I want to put all this in a book. Again, did somebody approach you or was this birthed in the yard?
Literally.
No, okay. I had written two other books and they were more memoir kind of books. And my...
About gardening already?
About gardening. It was kind of both of them. They were both about... The first one was about my fear of marriage, but it was in... And the beginning of gardening, didn't know what I was doing. Second one was fear of motherhood. And it was through the Master Gardening program I wrote about the 6 months in there. And now that I'm a mom of a 13-year-old and I've been married for almost 20 years, I understand why I had all that fear, because it's really scary and hard and fun. but it's definitely a challenge. So those books were very different. I wanted to...
In a way, they are.
They were different, but they were... I feel like I had to write that. I had to get that out. And I didn't never really plan to be a writer. I can't explain it, but it's just the energy of the natural world.
But it sounds like as disconnected as you were from the natural world growing up in New York,
right?
How has that fear now, looking back, changed with the change of your relationship to the natural environment?
Well,
has it changed?
It has, because in New York, when I didn't even know where flowers came from. I mean, I'd go to the flower shop to buy my mom gladiolas, and because she loved gladiolas, and I'd go to the flower. I never ever wondered where they came from. The woods to my sisters and myself, that was Central Park. When we in sixth grade at PS6, when we did a field trip to a farm. Helge, this is so pathetic. We didn't go to a farm. We went to the Metropolitan Museum, and they had a photography exhibit of farms. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've seen that farm exhibit. I don't know. I don't remember the museum somewhere. And I was stunned. I was shocked that we literally put, you know, behind thick glass.
Yes.
Put like, this is the farmer. This is the farmer, Rin, the female farmer, and with a basket of eggs. And oh my God.
No, and we're all standing there, all these, you know, these city kids are like, what are those things? That's potatoes.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So I, my agent that I had been working with, I wanted to do a practical how-to book because I was getting more and more of my friends in the film industry. I'd go on the set and they're like, how do I do this? How do I do that? And we need somebody to tell us when to do this. So my agent then didn't do how-to books. So I looked for someone else, and I got hooked up with Frederica Friedman, a fantastic agent in New York, and then miraculously got hooked up with Penguin, and there it is.
So how long did it take you to write it?
It took me about a year, a little over a year.
Did you go through a year while you were writing, or did you recall what you were doing?
Did
you have time to garden while you were writing it?
You know, that was the hard part, because
you don't get to.
Exactly. And I have this sweet little shed in my backyard. It used to be a tool shed. And once I signed the contract with Penguin, my husband Bill and I, we renovated it and took all the junk, the tools out of it, moved it into another shed, and put some heat in there and a desk, and it's my own little world in there.
You made it the writing shed.
Made it the writing shed. And
that's sweet.
It was so sweet. And that's what got me through this book. And I just want to say to other writers out there, and to other women especially, we all want our own space. And if you can, I mean, we did it very inexpensively. You know, it's a small, it's maybe 8 by 8 or something, small little wooden shed. And it's so worth it if you can do it.
And you were saying even in the film industry, people were asking how to do things, how to grow things. So there's obviously a growing movement and a growing awareness, not just around food and healthy eating, but actually growing your own food, right? Gardening.
Helge, this is such a good sign because my sister Sharon, who lives in Los Angeles, and I better say good things about her because she's probably listening. she is a real city slicker and has plastic plants all around her house. Just recently, a couple of months ago, she asked me to come plant some natives and some drought tolerant plants for her on a little sloped area. And she went out and got a bunch of compost from her city. They had free compost. She got truckloads. And I was so proud of her. And she was asking all these questions. So if Sharon's doing it, that means it's getting hot. People are getting it.
And now people have your book, and we'll talk about the book and all the amazing chapters, because it's really a how-to, down-to-earth guide to organic gardening. If you ever needed one book, that's the book. My guest today, the Dirt Diva, California Master Gardener and columnist for the San Francisco Bay Area Pacific Sun newspaper, Annie Spiegelman, the author of Talking Dirt, the down-to-earth guide to organic gardening, available from Penguin Press at your local independently owned bookstore. We'll be right back after the break.
I never loved nobody fully, always one foot on the ground, and by protecting my heart truly, I got lost in the sound. I hear in my mind all of these words. I hear in my mind.
An Organic Conversation is brought to you by Spotica Skincare. Founded by Janet Leigh Katzen, Spotica is a holistic approach to skincare that is 100% pure and natural, free of synthetic chemicals, and includes organic and wild-crafted ingredients. For more information about Spotica skincare products and the Spotica Spa, visit spotica.com. That's SPHATIKA.com.
Marin Organic is an association of organic producers in Marin County, California, which has become one of the most progressive voices in the sustainable food movement in the United States. Through its many innovative initiatives, such as a school lunch and gleaning program, Marin Organic is creating a healthy, sustainable, and safe environment for all beings, today and for generations to come. Please become a partner in our work by visiting marinorganic.org and by pledging your support now. Thank you.
Frye Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frye never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frye organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frye Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at fryewine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Are you looking for a romantic and unusual location in the Bay Area for your wedding or upcoming anniversary? Toby's Feed Barn offers the perfect venue for your celebration. A rustic barn in the heart of beautiful West Marin, with local organic caterers ready to delight your guests amid bales of hay. Toby's Feed Barn in downtown Point Reyes Station. Open 7 days a week. Family owned and operated since 1942. A West Marin original. For more information, visit tobysfeedbarn.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Walsh. My wife and I founded Manika Jewelry with the intention to offer a different kind of jewelry. Beautiful, made by local Bay Area artists, and without a social or environmental compromise. Our featured designers use reclaimed precious metals and Kimberly certified gemstones. It's jewelry made with heart and soul. Come visit our store just off Union Square at 11 Maiden Lane in San Francisco, or visit our website at manikajewelry.com.
And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm your host, Helge Hellberg. And my guest today, Annie Spiegelman, aka the Dirt Diva, California Master Gardener, and the author of a brand new book, Talking Dirt, The Dirt Diva's Down-to-Earth Guide to Organic Gardening. Annie, we were talking before the break about this movement really from a, you know, away from it, or in addition to a healthy food movement, now people getting into gardening, growing food themselves. Of course, schools are included. You are involved in your school, right? Your local area?
You know, I lucked out and I got a call. Actually, I got an email from my son's middle school, Hill Middle School in Novato, California. And a science teacher, Nicole Kelmels, was looking for someone to help her renovate this garden that they had there that I didn't even know about. None of us knew about. It was hidden in the back of the school and no one had done anything with it for 3 years, just totally neglected. And film work was slow with the economy. And I said, you know, I was like, okay, I'll come in there once or twice, but I'm not committing, because I knew as a parent, once they get you in there, you never leave. So I go in there, and within the first day of helping out those kids, I'm sucker punched in. I'm in love with all of them because they're so enthusiastic. Helge, I get there, and day one, we started a compost pile and we were collecting twigs and newspaper, and everybody was into it. And the principal of the school came by at one point, and she practically had tears in her eyes because she said that the three boys that I was out there with the rakes and shovels, and we were just ripping things apart into a compost pile, that she'd seen such smiles on their faces, and they were really into what they were doing, and they were outdoors, and everybody was physically active, and they were happy. So now I'm there every week.
Of course.
Of course. But the great thing is, because of the wonderful science teacher, Nicole Kelmels, within a month, we had parents out there and we built six raised beds. We had tons of compost loaded in from Sonoma Compost, who gave us a great deal on it. And we're growing vegetables. We've got cauliflower, spinach. We put in cover crops for the winter. It's just an amazing place. So I taught them how to prune roses a couple of weeks ago in January.
Which we hear in, you know, in many shows that are about community involvement, that all of a sudden there are resources available and then people come out of the woodworks to help. And it's really as much about community building as it is about growing a garden, right?
It really is. There's something so wonderful about it. And it's so important with this generation of kids, and I say this as a mom of a wonderful boy, that we get them away from screens. They're all little screen addicts, and we need to get them back outdoors, just being outdoors and playing and running, but also showing them where their food comes from. It's not from packages. It's not fast food. It's grown in the earth, and they have to get respect again, or they're doomed, this whole generation. They need to know what the soil and Mother Nature gives them.
And now we have an amazing guide, resource guide, to do that, even for a person that has no green thumb whatsoever. Guide us through the steps of a year and use your book for that. So we are now in mid-February.
Good.
We got some rain, which is good.
Excellent.
Rain is important.
So here on the West Coast, we're lucky in February. Us hortaholics, we just start going crazy now because the weather's starting to warm up and spring is in the air, and the magnolia tree outside my house has just started blooming. That's a sign that we're getting there, that things are about to happen. And while we're getting excited about it, all those microorganisms in your soil, because they like a little bit of heat, they ramping up. So they start chewing up and chomping up and eating organic matter and starting to fertilize your plants more. This is such an exciting time above the ground and under the ground.
But what do you do with this now? I mean, is the soil too wet still to actually walk on it, or do you turn it?
Yeah, so it's especially if you have rain, you don't want to touch it for a couple of days. It'll compact the soil, so stay away from wet soil. Wait till it's been dry for a couple of days, so when there's been no rain. What I do, because that's in the book, cover crops. I grow a lot of cover crops in the winter, and this is the time where you'll chop them up and lightly rake them into the ground before you plant. I do it in my boxes before I plant the vegetables. So that's one thing you'll do on the East
Coast. And cover crop sounds, it's like bell beans or vetch, right? Or things, you can buy cover crops literally as a premix.
Well, my friends think it means pot.
Cover.
I keep cover telling crop. Them. My no, Santa Cruz doesn't. Friends no. think it's pot.
We'll cut that out later. No. your Santa Cruz friends, yeah. Oh,
no, it's not at all. It's fava beans, it's legumes, vetch, oats. These are all seeds that you can grow, you can buy inexpensively. And from certain nurseries, not all nurseries have them. You have to look around or look on the internet a little bit.
And they
bit.
Bring nitrogen back
nitrogen,
into the soil.
They pull it in magically from the air. It's amazing. And pull nitrogen and other nutrients into the soil. So it's free fertilizer.
So you chop those up.
And then you leave it for a couple of weeks. And then you can plant your spring vegetables.
From seed or how do you do
it? You can do seed. I do seed. I don't do great seed because I don't have a greenhouse. My seeds are a little iffy, but I'll usually buy little six packs of starters. And I think new gardeners should definitely do starters, do six packs of them.
And how do people know in their climate region what's good? Can they trust that the seeds that are offered in a store are actually matching?
They can, as long as the date, if it's in within the year, the date on the back is fine. And I also give in the book a couple of different of my seed companies that I love. There's about 10 listed in there. One of the local ones is Renee's Seeds, Renee's Garden Seeds. And she's actually down in Santa Cruz and she's an amazing assortment. And also on her website, she'll give some garden design for what to plant, which foods grow well together.
And seeds don't really expire, but after a year, the germination rate
exactly.
just drops.
Right. Okay. So you want to it'd be great to stay within that year. Another thing that you want to do when you're planting food, and I hear that food crops and seeds for food are the biggest part of the market now, gardening, everybody's buying, everybody wants to grow their own food. And that's wonderful to me, and I'm excited about that. But I just want to make sure that we're doing it organically, that you're not buying those seeds and then running out to buy a chemical fertilizer and then pesticides, that you first, it's the most important thing you do is amend your soil. Do a soil test if you're brand new to your garden, and that'll check your pH and what nutrients are in there. You can get most of them at local nurseries. If you're having...
It's like a little kit, right?
A little kit. And if you have a big yard and you're having a landscape designer help you with it, then they should do that. And they can send away for a different kind of soil tests for bigger areas. And that should definitely be done. If it's new and you haven't done anything in your yard, you want to start adding a layer of compost and mulch. And you'll do that hopefully twice a year, at least once in the spring, a couple inches. And I explain all that in the book.
That's to give feed to the soil, right?
To feed the soil.
Feed the plants.
This is the most critical part. I almost feel like if you're not going to amend your soil with compost, add a couple of inches once or twice a year, you need to be physically active. But if you're not going to do that, then I almost don't want you to garden. I'm sorry.
Right. Okay. You can't garden if you don't use compost.
You have to compost.
You don't have to make your own compost,
right.
though.
That
there's already,
no, you don't.
You can buy organic
compost.
You can
buy compost, and I would love you to make your own compost. And
because it's fascinating, actually. It's really easy to do. You almost can't mess up. And if you put your hand in a hot compost pile, it's amazing to feel mm-hmm. that... that bacterial life, that microorganism life,
exactly.
Eat up on and convert all the nutrients that are in there. It gets so hot that you can literally burn your hand, right?
And it's free fertilizer. And who doesn't want anything free these days, But more importantly, almost half of what's in our landfills, something like 40 to 50% of our landfill space is filled with organic materials, food scraps, yard waste, grass clippings. And
which is literally soil thrown away.
You're wasting it, and it's all going. It's turning into methane in our landfills. And methane is the second leading greenhouse gas, and it's supposedly something like 30 times more potent than carbon dioxide.
Yes, we discussed that in our carbon show.
Yes.
3 weeks ago. Yes, that's right. It's 34 more times than CO2.
As we say in my clan, it's kind of mishigana that you're taking all this great fertilizer, you're putting in a plastic bag, you're paying someone to take it to a landfill that's going to go poison the air you're breathing, and then you're buying fertilizer from, a lot of it shipped in from China. Isn't that Meshuggah?
I don't know what Meshuggah means, but yes, it doesn't sound good.
It's crazy.
It's not smart. I can tell you that from a German perspective, it doesn't sound smart. So you composted, you have amended the soil.
Yes.
You have put in the starter plants or the
right.
seeds.
Then another important thing is in California, we've had a drought for 3 years. So here, water conservation is huge. There's water restrictions around the state, and it may get worse. I'm not sure what's going to happen this summer. So, and that's another reason to compost, because compost holds the water. It's a sponge. There's so many, and compost is the answer. I mean, in so many ways. But you want to get away from sprinkler systems. You can do a sprinkler on your lawn, but anywhere else in your garden, you want to do, if you can afford it and have the time to put together a drip system, that would be the best. You're wasting the least amount of water. And if you can't do that, then just buy a soaker hose. And I explain what all those are in the book.
Drip system is basically just a little plastic pipe that has little holes that where the water seeps out of slower,
exactly. Yep.
Very pointed on the plant. And you just pop it onto your spigot. And
right. And it's so much healthier for the plants because water doesn't touch the leaves. So you have less diseases. I know I'm jumping all over the place, but another reason not to use chemical fertilizer and to use compost is there's all this life going on in your soil and all those nutrients feeding your plants from the compost. So your plants are healthier, where when you use a chemical fertilizer, it's kind of like it's like feeding your kids junk food. It's sugar. It's unnatural for them, and the plants are all speeding, and the plants are speeded up from this sugar and salt content. And then, because they're not used to that, they may give you this great crop and lots of blooms that you show off to your friends, but then they get exhausted because they're not used to it, and then they get a disease. And so what do? You go buy a pesticide, and then you're in the cycle. And I think that's what the bad people want us to get in that cycle, but I'm saying let's get out of that cycle. And here's another reason why, and I know I'm going on here long, but I just want to throw this one fact in. Here in California, in the Bay Area, where we're a bunch of greenies here, right? And where we'll give you dirty looks if you walk out of a supermarket with a plastic bag and you should have your cloth bag. Even here where we are in the Bay Area, every single creek is contaminated with diazinon, a pesticide that was outlawed. It was banned in 2004 for home use. And it's in all our creeks. So if that's happening here, what's going on in the rest of the country? So,
yes, grow organically. And we talked about compost. What can people do other than drip irrigation? Save water now. How far does like a water drum last?
I don't have an official one yet, but when we had rain last month in January, we had a good week or two of rain. I put out a bunch of buckets of water, 5 gallon buckets.
Really?
And so people can just do that too. Anything that's saving water here, and then you'll use them up in a couple of weeks.
So then your plants grow.
Okay.
Weeding.
Oh, yes. March, wherever you are, March, April, the most important time to weed before everything goes to seed. Weeding, I'm sorry to say, you're going to have to be physical again. You're going to have to get off the couch, and hand weed is the healthiest way to go. It's healthy for you. It's healthy for the environment. If you need to spray, there are some, I think there's a product called Burnout, and there's some vinegar based sprays, which maybe if you have weeds growing through brick for small areas, some friends have also just used hot boiling water for small areas.
And weeds are competing with your plants, right? So this is the time where
exactly.
Either the food goes to where you want it.
Exactly.
Or it
so
doesn't.
It's critical. So springtime is about weeding, and I just want to warn people not to go too crazy on weeding. If you're hand weeding, to give yourself an hour or two at the most and then go take a break, because in the spring we all get way into it and then our necks hurt and then your back hurts. So you want to pace yourself.
And an hour makes no dent. I've learned myself. You can weed all weekend and 2 days later it's all back.
And that's another good thing to get the teenagers to do.
Oh, right.
Get those kids out there.
$1 an hour.
You know, speaking of kids, I just want to go back to school gardens for 1 minute. This summer, my son and his preteen friends, we got them to go glean at a couple of farms with Marin Organic, and they wah-wah the whole way in the car, whined down there with their iPods on. But once they were out there in the field, they all were happy and they had fun, and they, you know, worked for an hour or two, and it was great for everybody. And I recommend it. And for parents, when you take them to the farm, especially if they're preteens, teenagers, walk away from them, leave them with the farmers, because if you stay with them, they're going to whine to you. But if they're near the farmers, they'll be respectful. That's my tip.
So what's the greatest lesson you've learned in all this? What has gardening brought you in your life?
Oh, man. Oh, so many gifts. I think you have to be a gardener to really understand this, but it's about relationship. It's another relationship. And every day I say hello to, in the rain or shine, I'm out there in my yard checking up on things. It's mothering again, or parenting again, and it's love, and I give, and then it gives back to me. And it's such a simple, basic relationship. And I feel like you're never lonely. I'm never lonely. As I'm in solitude a lot out there, and I have yet to be lonely.
Annie Spiegelman, you're listening to An Organic Conversation, and Annie, aka the Dirt Diva, just finished and released her brand new book, Talking Dirt, the down-to-earth guide to organic gardening. It will hit the shelves next week.
Yes, on the 23rd of February.
And then are you going on book tour? Will you have to
leave your garden
behind?
It'll be on my website, the dates, yes.
And do you know already which cities you will?
Oh, yeah, actually, it'll be mostly local in the Bay Area, maybe a little bit Los Angeles in the spring. But I do know that I'll be in New York in July because my dad's in New York. I go visit him, and I'm going to be doing some bookstores in New York
there.
City, and go visit my old New York friends with the attitudes.
And do you have a website?
Yes.
What's that website?
DirtDiva.com.
Again, Annie Spiegelman, DirtDiva.com. And your new book, Talking Dirt, A Down-to-Earth Guide to Organic Gardening. Thank you so much. That about wraps it up for this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thanks again to our guest today, Annie Spiegelman, the Dirt Diva, California Master Gardener, columnist for the San Francisco Bay Area Pacific Sun newspaper, frequent contributor to Organic Style magazine, New York Spirit, and the Marin IJ, among many other publications, and the author of her new book, Talking Dirt, available from Penguin Press at your local independent owner-operated community bookstore. Thank you for coming to the studio, and good luck with you.
Thank you, Helge. It's been an honor.
Thank you. Keep worshiping the worms. An Organic Conversation is produced by our fantastic Heidi Hartley. Broadcast sounding engineer is Kareem Edwards. Production assistant is the outstanding Gina Restani. Underwriting production is provided by The Ear, the one and only Mark Van Gelder. Thank you all, and also always thanks here to the team at Green 960, our very own Fab Four, Corey Calward, Mark McNone, Chris Gardnier, and of course, John Scott. Also, always thanks to you, our listeners, for being part of this show and for actually listening. For blogs, podcasts, and more information on this show and previous shows, please visit our website at anorganicconversation.com. And you can also now find us on iTunes, where you can download An Organic Conversation to your iPhone or iPod and take us with you on the road. If you would like to read my blog, please visit helgehelberg.com. And you can also follow us now on Facebook and Twitter. Both look for An Organic Conversation. We love to hear from you. Please send us your comments and questions to share@anorganicconversation.com. Coming up next is the Gavin Newsom Show, so please stay tuned. I'm your host, Helge Hellberg. Have a great weekend, and thanks again for listening to An Organic Conversation. Where else? Only here on Green 960.
Change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world. Images of broken light which dance before me like a million eyes and call me on and on across the universe. Thoughts meander like a restless wind inside a letterbox. They stumble blindly as they make their way across the universe.